Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
The post-pandemic roaring 20s are over. U.S. GDP first fell by 2.2% over the course of 2020, the pandemic year, as much of the global economy was shut down. But as the full force of helicopter money arrived and was unleashed on the American public, GDP then rebounded by 5.8% in 2021 and has continued to display robust readings this year. During the first three quarters of 2023, GDP growth has averaged 3%. That's why some have called this the Roaring 20s all over again. Not 1929, but 2021 and 2023. But it appears that consumers have finally exhausted their excess savings, and consequently, their ability and willingness to spend are deteriorating now rather quickly. Even the high-end consumer is starting to crack. Keurig, the parent company of luxury brands such as Gucci and Yves Saint Laurent, have seen its shares fall by 33% from its post-pandemic high. Keurig reported a Q3 revenue of $4.72 billion, marking a 9% decrease from the previous year's level. Shares of LVMH are off 24% from its high. This is the world's largest luxury firm, and this is what they had to say about the stock drop. Quote, after three roaring years, didn't say roaring 20s, but they said, after three roaring years and outstanding years, they were, growth is converging towards numbers that are more in line with historical average, close quote. This is from their chief financial officer. The online restaurant reservation service OpenTable calculated that seatings are down 5% year over year, and the dollar amount of food ordered was lower than the rate of inflation, meaning people are going out to eat less and inflation-adjusted checks are lower. The stock prices, that means they're ordering less. The stock prices of major retailers say it all. For some examples, Macy's shares are down 42% year to date. Foot Locker is down 46%. In fact, even the S&P retail sector, ETF, XRT, is down just 4% year to date, but it's down a whopping 44% from its late 2021 high, the cycle high, the end of the bull market, where we went cautious. The entire retail sector forebodes a consumer that is heading for deep trouble. Meta, the erstwhile Facebook, gave warnings about the economy in its latest earnings report. Executives said that softer advertising spending could materialize and that the revenue outlook for 2024 is quote unquote uncertain. Shares of toy makers Hasbro and the maker of your favorite Barbie doll, Mattel, have been plunging. Both companies warned on the softer outlook for the demand of toys just in time for Christmas. Shares of UPS have been in freefall after the company recently cut its profit forecast for the second time in 3 months. UPS has been taking hits on both the revenue and the earnings side. On the revenue side, the CEO said unfavorable macro conditions negatively affected demand for the quarter as sales in the U.S. and international units both fell 11%. The stock price of this international bellwether company has lost 20% year to date and is down 35% in the past 2 years. By the way, UPS also warned on their rising expenses, too. The major railroad company CSX has lost 23% of its value since the start of 2022. This key railroad warned on falling revenue and shrinking intermodal freight volumes. And lastly, Caterpillar shares fell 6% yesterday after it warned on Q4. It had a pretty good Q3 number. But it warned on its fourth quarter as the backlog of orders fell by $2.6 billion and inventory spiked higher. Inventory is why they made their Q3 look so great. But there's a huge inventory and no more orders. Keep in mind that the top two quintiles of income earners have kept consumption and the economy afloat so far. The bottom three quintiles ran out of COVID stimmy checks a long time ago. According to a survey done by YouGov conducted in May of 2023, nearly 40% of adult Americans, not counting the kiddies, 40% of adult Americans have less than $1,000 in savings, and 12% have no savings at all. That means 52% of Americans have less than $1,000 to their net worth. Of course, to be fair, there are some very good earnings reports as well, but the quantity and intensity of the warnings outweigh the good ones and give the real indication of where the economy is heading. Turning to our proclivities of spending money over in D.C., the Treasury said it expects to borrow $776 billion during its fiscal Q1 2024 period. You did hear me correct. $776 billion during one quarter of fiscal 2024. It gets worse. October through December. Then it projects its borrowing needs will be $816 billion during January through March period, which is the government's fiscal second quarter. That puts the government's borrowing on pace to an incredible $1.6 trillion in just the first half of fiscal 2024. And this is in peacetime? In a good economy? I mean, I find it queer, or at least a bit humorous, that the government is telling us GDP growth surged during Q3 at a 4.9% annualized rate, and yet at the same time, the income or the revenue to the Treasury is running dry and it is actually having to hemorrhage red ink at a breakneck speed. That doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, if the economy is really booming, why are we hemorrhaging red ink? I know we're spending a lot of money, but come on. U.S. growth is supposedly surging even though the rest of the globe is stagnating. Canada entered an official recession this week, with back-to-back negative GDP readings in both Q2 and Q3. It was reported yesterday that the EU, European Union's economy, contracted in Q3. Japan is in a state of perpetual malaise, growing about 1% at best, but often dipping into recession. And its bond market and currency are teetering on collapse. Austria and Sweden are in a recession. And China's GDP growth will decelerate from its 8% pace regularly seen a decade ago to just 3% by the middle of this decade, according to Statista. The U.S. is already heading for a recession, and that is accurately being presaged by both the falling revenue to the Treasury and the price action of equities. The end of October marked three straight months of S&P 500 declines. The Russell 2000 is down 32% from its late 2021 high. Long-term U.S. Treasuries are down between 45 and 60%, depending on how far out you go along the curve. And even the beloved S&P and NASDAQ are down 13% and 14% respectively from their cycle highs from where the bear market began 2 years ago. The equal weight S&P 500 is down 4.5% year to date. The Russell 2000 has lost 6.5% year to date and is down 11% year over year. In other words, the overall market is having another bad year following its disaster of 2022. It's just the Magnificent Seven AI stocks that are masking the terrible market internals. Meanwhile, during all this carnage in both stocks and bonds, PPS is down just 5%, including fees, over the last 2 years. Now, I wish we made money during phase one of this bear market, of course. But one of the four horsemen of the economic apocalypse had a broken leg. It was the bond market. It is very difficult to make money in bonds when the yields are near 0%. That is no longer the case, and it means during the resumption of the bear market, phase two, it will be much easier for us to make money. This is because bond prices have fallen sharply and yields have soared. Therefore, bond prices can significantly appreciate from their current levels. Getting the timing correct is crucial, as always. The U.S. recession should engender the second and more brutal phase of the bear market, as I just mentioned. This is where stock prices usually shed between 30 and 50% of their value. Our strategy will continue to collect 5% yield with 75% of the portfolio in short-term bonds. That's where we are right now. As a reminder, our bond ETFs trade ex-dividend on the first of every month and then pay out on the eighth. It works like this. The price of the ETF drops commensurately with the dividend payment. Then the ETF price rises throughout the next month until we get another dividend. Hence, the dividend payments keep piling up and the stock prices or the ETF price will at least stay where it is, maybe even appreciate. And that is virtually guaranteed on the short end of the T-bill market. That's as close to the guarantee as you can possibly get. Our current two small long equity positions will be sold as the high frequency components of the model begin to flash red. That is when financial conditions tighten and credit spreads widen to reach our proprietary trigger points. Then we will move out along the yield curve from T-bills towards the middle of the curve to take advantage of the convexity that's associated with rising prices on longer duration bonds. But we're not going to go too far out because of the problem that we have with inflation and supply issuance, which is not going away. It's going to get worse over time. We will also maintain our current hedges while we move to a net short equity position. This should allow us to ride out the recession, phase two, with a good opportunity to make money as we sit back and watch the grand reconciliation of asset prices occur. We will then use our IDEC, inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model to accurately identify when the Fed and Treasury have been able to adequately reliquify the financial system. This should enable us to go long once again the equity market in the correct asset classes and sectors, but at a much better valuation than exists today. What makes PPS different than those that work for the deep state of Wall Street is we have a robust model that informs us toward a specific plan of action. And that is far better than a group of permeable salesmen without a process.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.